WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 9 o'clock, it's cloudy and 53 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic. Well, the Cass County Master Gardeners Group is inviting local gardeners to hop on the bus June 20th for a tour of area businesses that grow and produce from their flowers, vineyards, and nurseries a wide variety of products. Plus Hills Lavender Farm is the first stop on the bus trip to the Missouri Valley area. The trip is scheduled for June the 20th from 8 a.m. to 5:45 p.m., and it's sponsored by the Cass County Master Gardeners, but is open to everyone. Numerous people have expressed their interest in visiting the lavender gardens, and they should be at their peak in bloom. Lavender is used to make many healthful products, and lavender cookies are on the snack list. Participants will be able to purchase live lavender to plant at home, dried lavender, and other products. A visit to the Sawmill Hollow will include tasting samples of wine, jelly, barbecue sauce, and many other gourmet aronia berry foods. Aronia berries are promoted as providing more health benefits than blueberries. They're native to the area, and Sawmill Hollow was the first aronia farm in the U.S. Lunch will be served at that location. Other stops on that June 20th tour include one that sells homemade pies, jams, and jellies made from their orchard produce. They also provide garden bedding plants. Another nursery will demonstrate landscape planting, starting with layouts on the computer. A variety of plants are available at their greenhouse, and the final stop is at the Harrison County Historical Village and Iowa Welcome Center, showing Iowa life, prairie, and celebration of the Lincoln Highway. Fresh, locally grown produce will be available at that farmer's market. LaVon Eblin, president of the Cass County Master Gardeners, encourages you to get your registrations made now to save your spot on the bus. The cost is $47, which includes transportation, entrance fees, and a meal and snack. You can contact LaVon for a registration form or find a copy on the Cass County Extension website at www.extension.iastate.edu/Cass. The form and payment are due by May 31st. News time is 9:03.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
An elderly Northwest Iowa man has died in a tractor accident. The Sioux City Journal reports 78-year-old Richard Fondroy of rural Albert City was killed Tuesday when a tractor he was driving rolled over. The accident happened around 7:45 p.m. at Fondroy's home about 5 miles east of Albert City. Investigators say the man was moving a load of gravel from his driveway at the time. The Buena Vista County Sheriff's Office said the load may have shifted, causing the tractor to roll. In other news, the Iowa Senate has approved a health care reform plan just before midnight this morning. It's on the House agenda for today. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
The deal? Create something new called the Iowa Healthy and Well Plan. Use federal money to subsidize the health care coverage for up to 150,000 low-income uninsured Iowans. Require participants to follow doctors' orders or face paying part of the insurance premium. That meets the governor's demand for an Iowa solution that promotes healthy lifestyles, but it also means the state of Iowa will be accepting federal dollars to finance all of this, despite the governor's long-standing objection. The governor will seek a waiver that includes a promise from federal officials that the state will not have to keep the program up and running if the federal money dries up. I'm O.K. Henderson.
The Iowa Senate completed its work at 12:01 a.m. today. And here's what it sounded like.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The motion prevails. We are adjourned.
But a showdown over abortion policy derailed efforts to wrap up action in the Iowa House. Republicans were unable to line up the required votes to pass a budget bill in the House. Chuck Hurley is vice president of the Family Leader, a group that got a handful of House Republicans who refused to vote for the bill because it did not ban all taxpayer-funded abortions or forbid dollars from being paid to Planned Parenthood for birth control or cancer screenings.
It continues to force Iowa taxpayers to send money to people who kill unborn children.
The bill cleared the Senate just before midnight. It continues existing state policy that allows taxpayer dollars to pay for abortions for poor women who are victims of rape or incest, whose life is endangered by the pregnancy, or whose fetus is severely deformed and unable to survive outside the womb. Legislators did complete work on an education reform package Wednesday. The Senate passed a sweeping tax plan that cuts commercial property taxes and reduces income taxes, too. House leaders plan to make that the final bill to pass the 2013 legislative session. House lawmakers did approve more money for the state to spend on tax credits to entice new businesses to Iowa and help others expand. The Iowa House approved the $50 million credit increase Wednesday in a 94-1 vote. The measure increases the tax credit limit that the Iowa Economic Development Authority can offer businesses to $170 million. It now moves to Governor Branstad for his signature. Director Debbie Durham has told lawmakers in January that the agency needed $65 million more to finish negotiating projects during the fiscal year ending June 30th. Republican Representative Chip Baltimore of Boone said the final figure was a good compromise. If Branstad signs the measure, the agency can apply the tax credits retroactively to projects from the current fiscal year. The Iowa Senate has approved a compromise plan to cut commercial property taxes in the state. The plan was approved in a 43-6 vote Wednesday, and it now moves on to the State House for approval. The property tax plan will gradually reduce taxable assessments of commercial properties by 10% and provide property tax credits geared for smaller businesses. The deal also limits the amount that residential property assessments can grow. It includes small income tax credits and increases the state-earned income tax credit for low-income workers. Reducing commercial property taxes has been a longtime priority for Governor Branstad. The Iowa legislature approved a bill that calls for nearly $6 billion in spending on a variety of programs and initiatives over the next couple of fiscal years. Lawmakers in both the House and Senate passed the bill Wednesday, and it moves on now to Governor Branstad. The bill spent $2.9 billion each fiscal year, with $2.6 billion annually of that on basic school funding. Other items included $29 million to help counties adapt to a new regionalized mental health care system. It also establishes a new tax credit for farmers who donate excess produce to food banks. Along with the budget items, the so-called standings legislation included new policy items like more comprehensive background checks for school employees. Another provision requires hospitals to perform congenital heart disease screenings on newborns. The state legislature approved an education policy deal that would provide additional school funding. Lawmakers in the State House and Senate approved the plan Wednesday. Republican Representative Ron Jorgensen of Sioux City said the compromise plan would provide more basic school funding for the next academic year, and as we mentioned, offer dollars to districts that adopt a program to raise minimum teacher pay and offer leadership incentives. Under the plan, Jorgensen says a task force would review teacher evaluations and some restrictions on homeschooling would be lifted. As the state legislature was nearing approval of significant changes to Iowa's public school system, the Iowa Department of Education director accepted a job as superintendent of a Colorado school district. Eagle County School District in Colorado announced Wednesday that Iowa Education Department director Jason Glass accepted the job. He begins July 1st. Glass was among three finalists for the Colorado job. The current superintendent is leaving to head a school district in Fort Collins, Colorado. Glass started as director of the Iowa Department in late 2010. He previously worked for Eagle County Schools and the Colorado Department of Education. He'll earn $175,000 a year, which is $28,000 more than his current pay. In his Iowa position, Glass took the lead in backing education reforms that were approved by lawmakers on Wednesday. Taking a look now at world headlines on KJAN, British investigators are trying to determine whether the two suspects in yesterday's killing of a British soldier were part of a wider plot to bring terror to the streets of London. A British official says both men had been targets of previous security investigations for possible terror links. The men are suspected of hacking a soldier to death yesterday while horrified bystanders watched. In images recorded on mobile phones of witnesses, they warned of more violence. The father of a Chechen immigrant shot by U.S. law enforcement agents in Florida while being questioned about his ties to a Boston Marathon bombing suspect says he regrets allowing his son to go to the U.S. 27-year-old Ibrahim Todashev was a mixed martial arts fighter who had trained with Tamerin Tsarnaev, and his father said they had bonded because of their shared interests and ethnic heritage as Chechens from southern Russia. A band of thunderstorms is battering the Oklahoma City area and slowing cleanup operations in the southern suburb where a tornado killed 24 people and destroyed thousands of homes earlier this week. The National Weather Service says the storms are producing hail, heavy rain, and high winds. A flash flood warning is also in effect for some areas, and tornadoes are a possibility later today and tonight. The suburb of Moore, Oklahoma, was hit by a powerful twister Monday that shattered whole neighborhoods and hit two elementary schools. A global stock market slump is continuing on Wall Street as traders worry about how committed the Fed Reserve remains to keeping up its bond-buying program. The Dow lost more than 100 points in the opening minutes of trading this morning. Investors were spooked by minutes from the latest Fed meeting, indicating that several policymakers are leaning toward slowing the central bank's bond-buying program, which has been keeping interest rates low and encouraging investors to buy risky assets like stocks. And a vendor at Houston's Minute Maid Park has been fired after a fan filmed him taking a tray of snow cones into a stadium bathroom and putting it on the floor of the stall while using the facilities. Fans shared the video with the TV station, which aired the report last night. The company that runs food services at the park calls it an isolated incident and says the vendor's actions were a clear violation of our food safety practices. News time is 9:12.
We're the only bank you'll ever need. First Whitney Bank.
Let's face it, buying a home or even considering whether to refinance your current home can be a complicated and overwhelming experience. Fortunately, we can help. Hi, this is Chip at First Whitney Bank in Atlantic. When you discover your next home or are interested in refinancing your current home, give First Whitney Bank a call. With interest rates at historic lows, it is the perfect time to act. Let our experienced lenders guide you into the mortgage that will best suit your financial needs, as well as explain how refinancing could save you money. Owning your own home is one of the smartest investment decisions you will ever make. So is choosing First Whitney Bank for all your banking needs. Local bankers making local decisions. First Whitney Bank in Atlantic, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
And in our funeral announcements, Joyce Wright, age 86, of Casey, died Saturday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Joyce Wright will be this morning at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Casey. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Leo Chaffa, age 80, of Bridgewater, died Saturday in Fontenelle. Celebration of Life services for Leo Chaffa will be today at 11 o'clock at the Bridgewater United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Roger Hagedorn, age 75, of Manning, died Tuesday. Services for Roger Hagedorn will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning is in charge of the arrangements. Anchor Rasmussen, age 92, of Harlan, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Anchor Rasmussen will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Norman Lee Blunk, age 85, and C. Maxine Blunk, age 87, both of Atlantic, died in August of 2010 and December of 2012, respectively. Combined memorial services for Norman and Maxine Blunk will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Wyota United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Robert K. Nelson, age 59, of Menlo, died Saturday. Graveside services for Robert Nelson will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Dexter Cemetery. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Larry Slyster, age 70, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday. Memorial services for Larry Slyster will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Jim Daniels, age 69, who's formerly of Griswold, died May the 17th in Omaha. Graveside services for Jim Daniels will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Flint Cemetery in Griswold. A luncheon will be held at the Griswold United Methodist Church following the graveside service. Joanne Renicky of Avoca died May the 16th. Services for Joanne Renicky will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Gary Malik, age 65, formerly of Denison, died December 4th in Kansas City, Missouri. Memorial services for Gary Malik will be on Saturday at 11 o'clock in the Harlan Cemetery. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Leah B.B. Chadwick, age 90, of Summerfield, Florida, died March 22nd. Graveside services for Leah Chadwick will be Saturday at 4 o'clock at the Evergreen Cemetery in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home has arrangements. And Marvin Steffens, age 84, who was formerly of Atlantic, died Saturday in Kingman, Arizona. Funeral services for Marvin Steffens will be on Sunday at the Cross of Christ Church in Kingman. The Sutton Funeral Home of Kingman is in charge of arrangements. News was brought to you by First Whitney Bank and Trust, a home-owned, home-operated bank at 3rd and Chestnut and 7th and Chestnut in Atlantic.